Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tad Vaidhanus Tad Isava Sarato Hayaste Soham Rati Nipatayo Yata Anamanti Sarvam Shanena Tarabura Sarisha Riktam Pasmam Hutam I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offer their due respect. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them at a moment's notice have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. Purport. As we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. All energies and powers are derived from the Supreme Source, Lord Krishna, and they act as long as he desires and cease to function as soon as he withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization without the blessing of the Lord is child's play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it is all right. As soon as the parents withdraw, the child has to stop. Human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without the blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like a decoration on a dead body. It is said here that a dead civilization and its activities are something like clarified butter on ashes, the accumulation of money by a magic wand, and the sowing of seeds in a barren land. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Rakshuramudakam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Vipa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam there's generally a story that's being told, and at the same time there's a message that's being explained. And sometimes the message, which has a continuity, may continue through many, many different stories which are not actually connected. So here there's a very nice continuity of a theme that's being developed here on the presence of Krishna and auspiciousness, and the absence of Krishna and inauspiciousness. And that presence of Krishna comes for the devotee when the devotee is dependent on Krishna. just like a child. When a child is dependent and needy for his mother, then the mother's care is there. When the child gets older and he's independent and without need and capable on his own, then the mother's care and protection is a bit distant. So we see here this theme of Krishna's presence. And in Krishna's presence, and when Arjuna was dependent on Krishna, then Arjuna was empowered, and his brothers were empowered, and that's what's being described. They were being empowered to do so many wonderful things. And now that Krishna has left, and because it's Krishna's power, not one's own, then in Krishna's personal dealings with the devotee, as necessary, he can give that power or take that power away, depending on what's good for one's service to Krishna. If for service to Krishna one needs some power, then Krishna can give that power. But if Krishna sees that by that power one is becoming bewildered or developing pride or false ego or developing a ahankara, then he may withdraw that power as his will, because there's a very personal loving relationship between Krishna and his devotee. I've seen this also, that you can rest to be assured. One reason why it's very, very difficult for the Krishna consciousness movement to progress rapidly is because in Krishna consciousness, because of our personal relationship with Krishna, success has to be accompanied by humility. Krishna will not give success if it's a detriment to your spiritual life. And if he does give success and one's not humble, you can be sure it's temporary. So Krishna consciousness movement, our own individual preaching, has a very, very difficult task, because we have to accumulate assets and power and resources, and we have to control things for Krishna, and at the same time we have to become detached and humble in the same regard. This theme is so essential in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning of creation, when Lord Brahma wanted to create the world, he was fearful. It was a service for Krishna, but he was fearful because of the nature of the service, which is creating and controlling and doing things, that he would develop ahankara, the fruit of consciousness that I am the doer, I am the controller, the very consciousness that keeps us in this world. And therefore he asked Krishna how I can do that service and be free from pride. And in response, Krishna spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. The way one can act in the world and be free from pride is to do things with the proper conception, the proper level of observation. And the proper conception or level of observation is that it is not my power and I am not controlling, but Krishna is the controller. It's borrowed from Krishna for a purpose, and it can be taken by Krishna in a second. And that's the mood of the devotee, that even though he has so much power, he can be very, very humble. The example is given, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers was glorifying him, and he remembered meeting Prabhupada, how Prabhupada was very often talking about the Pandavas, how even though they were controlling the world, their mood was a kinshana. I have nothing. Just like grihastha life, real grihastha, he's living in a big house, but he feels he has nothing. It is Krishna's house. He may have a family, but it is Krishna's family. He may have a wife, but it is Krishna's wife. It is Krishna's. that type of consciousness. So we see this theme throughout the Bhagavatam. And I was also explaining before that these verses now, which are describing, they're describing the disappearance of Krishna, but describing the disappearance of Krishna from the perspective of the devotees at the time of Krishna, like Yudhisthira and Arjuna. Well, okay, the gate should be locked. So, this particular verse here finishes a series of verses. Actually, if you remember the story, what's happening is Yudhisthira had began to notice some ill omens. And he began to surmise that the inauspiciousness must be due to the absence of Krishna. And then Arjuna came back dejected. And he began to suspect that perhaps Arjuna was feeling separation because Krishna had left the planet, and he began to ask him a series of questions as to the cause, and then the last thing he did was directly ask him, has our friend Krishna left the planet? And then Arjuna, we see at the very beginning that in that mood of separation, it's so deep, his feelings of devotion for Krishna, there's so many ecstatic symptoms in the mood of separation. And then Arjuna begins to realize that due to his dependence on Krishna and due to his brother's dependence on Krishna, he begins to relate the history, how so many successes were there in their life by the grace and mercy of Krishna. And here he concludes, I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot. In other words, I have all my assets. All my assets are still there. And I use them as the same Arjuna to all the kings who offered respects. But in the absence of Krishna, all of them have no power. Just like in the absence of fire, ghee has no power. In the absence of fertile land, seeds have no power. It's the same seeds. It's the same butter, but there's no Shakti because there's another element that's missing. So Arjuna is feeling, I have the same Shakti. I have the same things. I have the same great bow. Dada was explaining yesterday that Arjuna couldn't even tie, he couldn't even string the bow anymore. So they say, we'll find that also. We're doing something, and if we separate ourselves from Krishna by a sense of ahankara or false ego, or a sense of a lack of dependence on Krishna, it'll be the same brain, but somehow or other we'll be defeated, just like Arjuna was defeated by some infidel cowherd men. Somehow or other, you know, with all our brilliance, we'll be defeated in debate by some Christian or some karmi. Or we'll be great managers and our ability to control everything will become messed up. We see this in the history of our movement repeatedly, again and again and again. As soon as we lack the humility to approach our assets in a mood of service, then Krishna, to help us become his devotee, to help us depend on him, he will take them away. And just like it's given here, just like electrical energy, it's coming, it's going. All energies and powers are derived from the Supreme Source, Lord Krishna. They act as long as he desires and ceases to function as he withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. The bulb is there, but there's no power. Our brain is there, our education is there, our beauty is there, Our strength is there, but there's no power. There's no power separate from Krishna, separate from dependence on Krishna. So Krishna can withdraw for many reasons. For Arjuna, he withdrew. It's part of the Leela, and we'll see why he withdrew that power. But also his mission was finished. And the power was not required anymore for Krishna's service. So we may need some power for Krishna's service, but Krishna can withdraw it if our consciousness is not proper for using it for his service. So we see how the Bhagavatam is preparing us to actually become devotees of the Lord. And these pastimes that are coming up are also very interesting, because a question that was asked by the sages of Namasharanya is, when Krishna has left the planet, where is knowledge and religion protected? So at this particular point, Krishna has left the planet. So where is knowledge and religion protected? It'll be in the Bhagavatam. So we'll actually see the world absence of Krishna, an absence of Krishna. We see the external environment and the absence of Krishna, how irreligiosity comes. We see in Arjuna's own personal life, in the absence of Krishna, his powers are withdrawn. And this will set the stage for the appearance of Krishna in the form of the Bhagavatam. Also, the disappearance of Krishna is being discussed because these are Krishna's eternal associates and they appeared with him for some mission. And therefore, the signs that Krishna has disappeared will also lead us to the eventual fact that his eternal associates will also go. Which leads us to the prime subject matter at hand, because the prime subject matter at hand being discussed by Suta Goswami is Maharaj Prickett's activities, which begin with his enthronement. But Maharaj Prickett's enthronement does not begin until his uncle Yudhisthira. Actually, it's not his uncle, but his kind of granduncle. But until Yudhisthira, the previous king, leaves. So therefore, these stories are being told. Just see how in the Bhagavatam, things have multi-meanings. What's being discussed is the disappearance of Krishna. It's the catalyst for Maharaj Prickett's enthronement on two accounts. The first account is the catalyst for his enthronement, because unless Yudhisthira becomes inspired with some renunciation and leaves, he won't be enthroned. And it's also the catalyst for Maharaj Prickett's enthronement, because unless Krishna leaves the planet, the Bhagavatam won't reappear. And if Krishna leaves the planet, the Bhagavatam reappears. But how does it reappear? It reappears to Maharaj Prickett, who is cursed. So everything is leading to this conclusion.
Rajam svayanu krishnanam suryadam nasuritpure viprashapavamudhanam nignatam mushtibhimata parunim madarim pitva madon matita chetasam ajanatam ivanyonyam chatu panchava sheshita.
O King, since you have asked me about our friends and relatives in the city of Dwarka, I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmanas, and as a result they all became intoxicated with wine made of putrefied rice and fought amongst themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now all but four or five of them are dead and gone. So Arjuna is answering the questions of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Remember in the last chapter when Arjuna came back dejected. So remember that Maharaj Prickett, he asked, Yudhisthira saw that Arjuna was dejected. So he was already suspecting that Krishna had left the planet because he was seeing things that were unprecedented in the appearance of Krishna, which are the symptoms of Kali Yuga, like husband and wife not getting along, relatives and friends fighting, people are greedy. So he was already suspecting. Then he saw Arjuna dejected. And out of love, he just couldn't bear to ask the question as Krishna left immediately. So he began to ask about Krishna's relatives. So now Arjuna is going to reveal a bit. He's already revealed it, but he's going to directly reveal what Narada and Vidura could not utter. Because as we remember, Vidura, he knew Krishna left the planet, but he wouldn't tell. He doesn't want to spread bad news. And Narada also knew. And he also couldn't tell. They just hinted. So what they hinted at now directly is going to be discussed. So he begins to discuss and answer the family that actually Krishna has already arranged, because Krishna is going to leave the world, he's already arranged to take his associates with him. Now, Yudhisthira is also an associate, and he also knows what this means. And it was also hinted before, because Narada Muni told him, Krishna has appeared, his mission is finished, and get ready to retire. So this is all leading to the Pandavas retiring. Now he's finding out that everybody else has left, and he understands what this means. Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another, and in other times they protect one another. So, he's beginning now to explain how this has happened. This is Krishna's will. And Prabhupada discusses in the purport that the struggle for existence, this is the will of Krishna. People coming, people going, the struggle for existence in the material world. It's Krishna's will, it's Krishna's power. It's the same basic theme. That when there's happiness, that happiness comes by Krishna. When there's distress, that distress comes by Krishna. Krishna gives peace, Krishna gives happiness. Krishna appears, he disappears, he has a mission, his mission is finished. And Prabhupada discusses that in the purport that they do not know behind the law of nature is the supreme direction of the personality of Godhead. And the Bhagavad Gita is confirmed that the law of nature is executed under the direction of the Lord. Whenever, therefore, there is peace, it must be known that it is due to the goodwill of the Lord. And whenever there is upheaval in the world, it is also due to the supreme will of the Lord. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. So the Yadu dynasty is left. They fought among themselves. Don't be confused about this. This is the struggle for existence. And ultimately, this is the supreme will. And this is how the material world works. It's under the stringent laws of material existence, basically the law of karma. So when there's disobedience to the Lord, then there's war. And when people obey the Lord, there's peace. And this is the key. Prabhupada said that an action is thus judged by the Lord's pleasure or displeasure. There is no room for personal whims. We must be guided by the pleasure of the Lord. Such action is called yoga, karmasu, kaushalam, or actions performed, which are linked with the Supreme Lord. That is the art of doing things perfectly. So that is the art. The struggle of existence is just conditioning the living entities. O king, is in the ocean, the bigger and stronger aquatics, swallow up the smaller and weaker ones, so also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to lighten the burden of the earth, has engaged the stronger Yadu to kill the weaker and the bigger Yadu to kill the smaller. So he arranged a fratricidal war to to remove. He wanted to leave, and factually speaking, no one else can kill his own relatives. So he arranges a fratricidal war. It's all the will of Krishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada mentions a very interesting thing, that this struggle for existence of one person killing another and one protecting another, that mentality, it's caused by the mentality of lordship over the material nature, and that creates the struggle for existence. The struggle for existence is caused by our mentality. And because of our mentality, we come to this world. What is our mentality? It's lording over. So Krishna is giving facility in the material world for people to lord over. And therefore this struggle for existence. Someone is lording over someone else, and at the same time, someone is lording over you. So this is the material world. And Prabhupada said in the spiritual world, there's no such disparity. There's no struggle for existence, because that consciousness of lording over the material world is not there. So there's no, so everyone has that mood. Prabhupada said in the spiritual world, there is no disparity, nor is there struggle for existence. It doesn't have to be one over another. It has to be because of our mentality. That mentality creates it. And even if we want to say something topically, as long as that mentality is in even our movement, you'll have that struggle for existence. There is no disparity in the spiritual, because everyone wants to render service to the Supreme Lord, and no one wants to imitate the Lord in becoming the beneficiary. So anyway, basically what happened in these last three verses is he answered his question of what happened to the relatives. And by the will of Krishna and the struggle for material existence, now the relatives have left. Now, 27, I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. So what's Arjuna feeling? He's feeling the need for Krishna's association, because he's feeling deep distress and separation for Krishna. And that separation for Krishna is apparent by the loss of his opulences, success, and power, which were given by Krishna. Krishna empowered him for a mission. Now Krishna left, it meant the mission was finished. Arjuna's powers withdrawn. And he's feeling great need for Krishna's association. And what happens? He turns to the message of Krishna. Because the message of Krishna is not different than Krishna. So in the same sense, we'll see Arjuna personally turns to the instructions of Krishna. And later his grandson, Maharaj Prickett, will also turn to the instructions of Krishna. Because the whole milieu in which this whole story is being told now is that Krishna has left the planet. Is separation from Krishna. And because of separation from Krishna, there's inauspiciousness and there's distress. And therefore, Arjuna, in that mood of separation for Krishna, he turns to Krishna's instructions, Krishna's message. And he begins to remember the instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Now, in this purport, Prabhupada discusses Desha, Kalartha, Yuktani, that these instructions, have the power to relieve the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. And this is the whole purpose, even for the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. It's the way that we can associate with Krishna, because when Krishna left the planet, he returned in the form, Prabhupada said, of his recorded message. And this is the way we can associate with Krishna and therefore become purified. So Prabhupada discusses that the unique nature of the Bhagavad Gita purport. Herein Arjuna refers to the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, which were imparted to him by the Lord in the battle of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all good and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of God, it is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutra. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmins, Kshatriyas. So it's for everyone. And it can solve all problems. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra was solved by the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical time, not only for solace from all mental agonies, but also from the way out of great entanglements which may be embarrass one in some critical hour. So all our suffering and all our anxiety is due to not having a sufficient vision to actually see reality. Ultimately, reality is Krishna, and we're Krishna's servants. So ultimately, we are protected and nourished in all circumstances. But without knowledge, we can't actually perceive it. Example is nicely given by Sahotra Swami. I can repeat it again. That there was some substance, and it looked gray, like ash. And one was seeing gray. When you put it under a microscope, you see that it's actually black and little granules and little white granules. The gray doesn't actually exist. But because you don't have sufficient level of observation, you can't see it. It's not that nothing is there. It's just not gray. So similarly, we're in Maya or illusion in this world, and therefore we're not seeing reality. But to see reality, the eyes to see reality is Jnana Chakshus, it's the Shastra. And when one has sufficient knowledge, as in Bhagavad Gita, and is able to perceive things properly, then he'll actually perceive that he'll be beyond duality, because he'll see that reality means that the substance of everything is Krishna, who is all-powerful and good. And that our anxiety is only because we're seeing something that is not there. When we actually see what's there, there's no anxiety. We're seeing some distress, but actually it's Kala Roop, it's Krishna moving time for our enlightenment, for our purification. So everything that happens around us is moving for our enlightenment, and with the proper vision we can see that. And therefore everything that's actually happening is for our benefit and good. And therefore if we react to each circumstance in the way that it inspires us for enlightenment, our life is auspicious in any circumstance. Just like in the previous chapter, Yudhisthira was in distress. Why? Because he was the protector and maintainer of Dhritarashtra, and now Dhritarashtra was gone. How will he be protected and how will he be maintained? Well, what did Narada Muni gave him instructions to give him a higher level of observation that you are not the protector and maintainer of Dhritarashtra. Krishna is. And Krishna is all-powerful, and therefore he is protected and he's maintained, or there's nothing you can do about it. So therefore, this message can solve our distress and give us direct association with Krishna. Because what is the message? The message is truth. And what is truth? And what is reality? Reality is Krishna. Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. That was the verse. Krishna is the vastu, or substance. When you actually realize the substance and the truth, then you're free from all suffering. Because all suffering is caused by our desire to enjoy the world, which puts us in the illusion that we're the enjoyer and the controller, which means we identify with the body, which is always threatened with non-existence, which always all the inebrities are in matter. But the identification in matter is only due to the consciousness to enjoy, which is a position which cannot have by our own constitution. So that position of enjoyer can only be fulfilled in an illusion of identifying with the material body as the self. But when you actually see truth, you actually see Krishna, you'll understand that he's God and that we're his servants. And you'll change the mentality that is causing your suffering. All our suffering is caused by our mentality. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he's not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita, or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord, is also an incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. So Krishna is his message. And that's why it's so important to study and not just look at the words, but to understand the meaning, because that meaning or message is Krishna. And you can experience, I've had this experience now with studying the Bhagavatam in a meditative way and trying to understand the message and studying it every day for an hour and a half or teaching for an hour and a half, that actually when you begin to understand what that message is, you'll have a direct experience of Krishna. And then Prabhupada sums it up in the purport. Sutta Goswami said, so he's describing Arjuna, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from material contamination. So this is what happens in Krishna consciousness. Three things happen simultaneously. You become detached, you get knowledge, and you get bhakti. Just as when you're eating, the hunger subsides, the pain goes, that's like detachment. The pain goes, you feel satisfied, and you also get pleasure. So the satisfaction is like knowledge, and the pleasure you get from eating, is like bhakti. And these three things move together, simultaneously they move. It's not that you get bhakti, but you don't have renunciation. If you have bhakti, but there's no renunciation, it's actually not bhakti. It's actually sentimentality. At the same time, if you have renunciation, but you don't have bhakti, it's not actual renunciation. There's some motive involved. So these things go together. If you see someone with great ecstatic symptoms, but attached to sense gratification, you can understand they're not ecstatic symptoms. If someone is so-called very renounced, if he doesn't have bhakti, he's not actually very renounced. Since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon him is as good as yogic trance. The Lord is non-different from his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and specific actions. Arjuna began to think of the Lord's instructions to him on the battle of Kurukshetra. Only those instructions began to eliminate the tinges of material contamination in the mind of Arjuna. So here the verse says, Evam Chintaya Jishnu. He started thinking of Krishna. Krishna Padad, so whose feet resemble a lotus. And what does he start thinking? He starts thinking of Krishna, but Sora Dana, by his deep friendship. When you think of Krishna, you think in terms of your own relationship with Krishna. For example, when you think of your mother, you think in terms of your relationship with your mother. You don't, if you have a mother and your mother is a CEO of a corporation, you don't think of her as the CEO of the corporation. And if your mother has a lover, you don't think of her in a sexual way. So thinking of Krishna means thinking of Krishna in terms of our relationship with him. That's what thinking of Krishna means. So Sodayadam means by deep friendship, Atigha, in great intimacy. So he's thinking of those instructions. But what instructions? They were given to him in great friendship and intimacy. And because of that friendship and intimacy, then Krishna was revealing Arjuna all this intimate knowledge. And therefore, Shanta, that disturbance, he became pacified, and Vimala, without material contamination, Mati, his mind became very peaceful. And this is the instruction for us. In separation from Krishna, there's so much distress. And therefore, Prabhupada quotes, it's nice to get verses which cross-reference Cheto Dharpanam Marjanam. Cheto Dharpanam Marjanam, the Cheta, the consciousness, becomes pure. There's a term called, in Sanskrit, called Chitta Vritti. Chitta Vritti means our psyche. What is our psyche? It's how our pure consciousness becomes transformed. I think Vritti means transform. Becomes transformed from the pure consciousness of service to Krishna. Our conscious, and those transformations, they cause us anxiety. So Cheto Dharpana Marjana, the pure consciousness becomes purified by association with Krishna, by association with his holy name, by association with Krishna in the form of his message. So this separation becomes purified. Of course, this separation of Arjuna is not actual separation. It's just another manifestation of his devotion. He's attached to, there's no separation for a devotee. There's external separation. Because Krishna is there in his devotion. So the devotee who's feeling separation, the separation for a pure devotee means that the object which is before him comes into his heart. And union means the object which is in his heart comes before him. So this is different than our type of anxiety. There's two different types of separation. This is also an example of the conditioned soul, material contamination, etc. But it's also of the feelings of the liberated soul, which are different because they're transcendental bliss. And our separation from Krishna is just utter anxiety and suffering. Same thing, but it has two different effects. Just like ice, ice can also burn. So that separation from Krishna has two different aspects. It has a completely different effect in different circumstances. So the separation from Krishna for the liberated soul is very ecstatic, and for the conditioned soul, so much suffering. These are very important verses. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna, it's so amazing how it's done in the Bhagavatam. We're seeing Arjuna's separation and his distress, and then his real feeling of devotion, that everything he has, his humility, is Krishna's, and then how his separation gets relieved, but by the remembrance of Krishna in this mood, his devotion increased. So this is actually the process of Krishna consciousness, to worship, to get some attachment for Krishna, and to deepen that attachment by feeling some separation, which increases our remembrance on Krishna, which increases our devotion. And as our devotion increases, then automatically all, what does it say here? Kshaya Dishino, all trash in the thoughts, all material conceptions go from the heart. In Bhagavad Gita, in the middle six verses, which is the Bhakti Yoga section of Bhagavad Gita, the first verse describes the essence of bhakti, and it says, Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan marasaya asamsaya samagramma yata gyas yasi tatrinu. This is the process. Tatrinu, first you have to hear about Krishna. You have to associate Krishna through hearing. His name is not different from him, and his message is not different from him. So when you associate with Krishna by hearing, just hear from me how my consciousness absorbed in me. So then by hearing about Krishna, you absorb your consciousness in Krishna, mind attached to me. Then you get devotion for Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. And when you meditate on Krishna, you will develop attachment for him. And if you develop attachment for Krishna, that's bhakti. And if you develop bhakti, then the material contamination will go. And what's material contamination? It's the opposite of bhakti. I want to control and enjoy. That's the trash in one's thoughts. And that's the consciousness that brings us to the material world. So this is the process, not just for Arjuna to relieve his transcendental sense of separation, which is just part of Krishna's internal potency to increase his affection for Krishna's enjoyment. But for the conditioned soul, it's to relieve the suffering we have of our separation for Krishna. A position we can't have by our own constitution, which is fulfilled in the illusion that we're the enjoyer and controller. It's all caused by this desire to enjoy. And it all goes by bhakti. Therefore, Arjuna, in his mood of separation, he thinks of the Bhagavad Gita. But for our distress, we have to focus the consciousness on Krishna. And that will develop attachment. And by that attachment, then the causes of anxiety will go. And this is in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The first process of pure devotional service, the first symptom, is klesh agni. The kleshas, the causes of suffering diminish automatically, and the life becomes auspicious. These purports I'm just going to read. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements which are all false and temporary. In other words, the senses, indriyas, indriyasyarte, raga, dvesha, vivasta. In the senses, there's hate and like. But what's the hate and like based on? The hate and like is based on our conception of enjoyer. I don't like this because it's displeasing to me. I like this because it's pleasing to me. And that's the mental platform. And that keeps us in the bodily concept of life. So this is removed by bhakti, or the desire to give Krishna pleasure. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. When we get in touch with the transcendental Lord and variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest. So the naked forms of material desire. What's the naked form of material desire? A material desire says that this woman or this man is the goal of my life and it's going to make me happy. And if I do this, it's going to make me happy. And it's not. And then it becomes exposed by devotional service. And the intelligence of the living entity is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt free from all material contamination. All our anxieties are our attachments. There's no other anxieties. Even the anxiety of death is just the attachment. when we suffer death, because if pain becomes too much, you go in coma. So even our fear of death is just thinking of what we're going to lose and all the things. When coming to Vrindavan, the first thing that becomes naked to me by devotional service are my material desires and my attachments and how they're causing me anxiety. And they're causing me anxiety because there's duality, because they're not real. The objects of my attachments in the material world are not real. They're changing by the force of time, and they're going to be taken away. That's the illusion of the material world. The illusion of the material world is that the particular situation you're in, based on your attachments, you take as real. In other words, family you take as eternal. Your wife is eternal. Your child is eternal. My situation, my position, it's eternal. My friends are eternal. That's our illusion, but it's not. Krishna, by time, is transforming everything. What's actually eternal, what's actually the substance of the reality, is Krishna. And our eternal relationship with Him, that's real. Others are temporary. So all these contaminations, they're a source of anxiety. So we can see by Arjuna's remembrance, his devotion increased, and as a result of devotion or bhakti, the attachment, I want to give Krishna pleasure, then all the other desires subsided. We're seeing this nice section here. Okay, we can continue at the moment.
Rama Murdani Kala Karma Tamorudham Puna Adyagamat Prabhu.
Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case, and again, he became the Lord of his senses. So it appeared that Arjuna had forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But the point that's going to be made here is that because Arjuna was engaged in the mission of the Lord, that really, ultimately, he could never forget the instructions of the personality of Godhead and the position of the personality of Godhead. Even though he was engaged in a, you can't turn it down, it just doesn't work, that's all. Yeah. You want to move, maybe you can switch with her?
Let's turn it off.
What? Okay. Okay. What? Okay, we don't need the light. Okay, so the point is that just see how Sutta goes, all these essential points are going to be presented. Because ultimately the Bhagavatam, besides the story that's being told, it's preparing our consciousness and our understanding so that we can ultimately focus our mind on Krishna completely without any misconceptions. Perception is also based on understanding. If you want to see Krishna, you have to have the proper understanding, otherwise you'll misunderstand Krishna. Just like this is a tape recorder here. But if you don't know what it is, can you actually say that you're perceiving it? If you bring someone, you know, like from the prehistoric times or something like that, and he walks in here and he sees this, can you say that he sees it? He doesn't actually have the understanding. You can't see Krishna. You can't see the holy name. If you think, if you have Mayavadi conceptions and you chant the holy name, do you experience Krishna? Experiencing Krishna is not just the senses. That's why we chant defenselessly. It's also dependent on our understanding. And therefore, without some bandhagyan, you can't chant the holy name purely. And you know what some bandhagyan is? Some bandhagyan just doesn't mean what is our relationship with Krishna. It means the relationship, there's matter, spirit, and the controller of both. There's God, there's the material world, and the living entity. To know the relationship between all of them. You have to know the relationship between you and the material world. You have to know your relationship between God. You have to know the relationship between God and the material world. You have to know all these relationships. You have to have the proper understanding and the proper knowledge. Anyway, here in this verse, it's very interesting because but factually, this was not the case. He did not forget the instructions of the Lord. Maybe externally he forgot, but he was executing the Lord's mission. And Prabhupada makes this point. It says, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of his mission. And therefore, after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position. Even though it appeared that he forgot all the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, one should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission. Even though it appeared, but he remained in that transcendental position because he was engaged in the mission. And what Jiva Goswami says about this verse is, again, Arjuna became convinced of Krishna's promise in the Bhagavad Gita that one who remembers me, I will bring him to me without doubt. So he was remembering. He was remembering. And Prabhupada quotes the verse, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya ji mam namaskaro. Think of me, remember me. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. This is what makes our activities in the world purifying. This is what makes karma yoga purifying. Because when you do the mission of the Lord, when you do the activities of the Lord, if you're doing work and that work is for Krishna, then you remember Krishna and you become purified. So it says, because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because it appeared that Arjuna forgot his instructions. But what were the Lord's activities? Here it says, Sangrama Mudhani, in the midst of the battle, fighting. It appears to be material activities. But Prabhupada said the Lord's activities are not kala. It's not here kala, karma. It's not time. It's not action. But they're manifest by atmamaya, by Krishna's own will. It's not karma. And therefore Arjuna is also not under karma. And therefore it's not possible, therefore, that these activities, fighting in the war, and performing activities and pastimes of Krishna, that these activities drove him away from Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada said that, therefore such apparently did not drive him away from his transcendental position, rather they revived his consciousness. So he was remembering. He was remembering. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya. I think we will try it. Turn on the fan. You'll just move a little. It's getting a little. The sun is also coming up. No. Yeah. Yeah. Mataji, you want to move a little towards the wall? Mm-hmm. We'll see if this can be adjusted. A little bit much. It doesn't work. Okay. Vishoka Brahma Sampatya Sanchina Dvaita Samsaya Nina Prakriti Nargunyad Alingatvara Sambhava. Because of his possessing, can you hear me? Spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. Thus he was freed from the three modes of nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from material form. So because he took shelter of the Lord's instructions, immediately all material conditions, connections were cut off. So it's described that duality is mitigated by the Bhagavad Gita. So how is duality mitigated by the Bhagavad Gita? Because by the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, you understand Krishna. And you understand that even the material energy is Krishna's energy. That there's a unity in everything, in happiness and distress. It's all coming from Krishna. And therefore there's not fear because you always see Krishna. When Prabhupada was in Calcutta, I think, or Delhi, during the Pakistan-Indo War, they asked him, what would you do if the war came and the Bhagavad Gita came, the atomic bomb came? He said, I would seek Krishna. And that's the devotee. He's beyond these dualities because he sees reality. Bhagavad Gita is reality. Bhagavatam is reality. It's Krishna. It shows you how to see Krishna. Just like the good example was, is Yudhisthira was so distressed that Dhritarashtra left. Why? Because he was thinking that I am the protector and controller. And then Narada Muni instructed him and gave him instructions, and he said, no. It's Krishna who's the maintainer and controller of everything. So therefore, he saw Krishna and Krishna's will, and he became free from his distress. And what was his distress caused by? The illusion that Krishna's not there, that it's not Krishna that's controlling. Right? You're the mother, so you're thinking, I am protecting my child. I am maintaining my child. And therefore, sometimes you get an anxiety. But you're an illusion. You're not the protector and maintainer. Your child is completely under Krishna's control and protection. You're just an instrument and you have to do your duty. But you're not the ultimate controller. So therefore, all our anxiety comes from this illusion that Krishna is not the supreme controller and Krishna is not the enjoyer. But then I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. So this duality, and therefore Prabhupada says in the purport, he can realize that the Lord was still present before him by his instructions, by his form, by his pastimes, and he could realize that Lord Krishna was present before him by his transcendental presence in different energies. So by this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, he understood that Krishna is God, which means that everything is Krishna or Krishna's energies. This is called in the Bhagavatam Advayam Gyan, non-dual knowledge. That Krishna is everything. And when we have that knowledge, we have no fear. And here it also says, another point here, it says, Vishoka Brahma Sampatya, that he was free from lamentation, how? By his spiritual assets. And what were those spiritual assets? Because he served Krishna. And because he served Krishna in the time of distress, the realizations were there. And therefore there was no anxiety. And Prabhupada describes Arjuna had attained this stage long before in the battle of Kurukshetra. And when he apparently felt the absence of the Lord, he at once took shelter of the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. And thus again he was placed in his original position. This is the position of Vishoka, the stage of being freed from all grief. So he'd attained this stage long before on the battle of Kurukshetra. So he had sampatya, Brahma sampatya. He had spiritual assets by his mission and by his service. And now he's remembering Krishna's instructions. And Krishna's instructions are that remembers me will come to me without doubt. And he's seeing it. That because he was remembering Krishna, Krishna is there, Krishna is helping him. Prabhupada said, one is not able to feel the presence of the Lord in all circumstances until one is endowed with the required transcendental vision made possible by devotional service prescribed in the scriptures. Okay, well, we have time, we'll do a few more verses. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstam Yaru Kalasyacha Sapattaya Matim Chakre Nibratatma Yudhisthira. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode, and upon understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhisthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead. So we're getting closer now to the enthronement of Maharaj Cricket. Because he heard from them that Krishna disappeared. The first thing that Arjuna said, yes, Krishna has left. And then he told him the Yadu dynasty has left. And therefore he decided that Krishna's mission is finished and that I should go. That it's time for me to go. Maharaj Yudhisthira also turned his attention to the instructions of Bhagavad Gita after hearing about the Lord's departure from the vision of earthly people. So what instructions do you think Yudhisthira was hearing and remembering? Anybody like to guess? What? No, about Bhagavad Gita, because he was hearing, also now he was hearing Bhagavad Gita. It's funny, he heard from Vidura, then he heard from Narada Muni, now he's hearing from Arjuna. What verse? The mission of the Lord's appearance and disappearance in the mortal universe is completely dependent on his supreme will. He is not forced to appear or disappear by any superior energy as the living beings appear and disappear, being forced by the laws of nature. Whenever the Lord likes, he can appear himself from anywhere and everywhere without disturbing the appearance and disappearance in any place. In other words, he heard Krishna's transcendental position. Ajopi san abhyatma bhutanam ishvaropi prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavam yatmamaya. He heard that Krishna has a transcendental position and Krishna's returning to his abode. It doesn't mean that Krishna is dying. It means that Krishna is going on. And then he realized that he also has an eternal relationship with Krishna. He's Krishna's eternal associate. And that he also should go on. This is what he's understanding. In other words, he understood Krishna's factual position from the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, when he heard that Krishna left, he didn't lament, oh, now Krishna is gone. Krishna is dead. He understood that he's God. And therefore, Prabhupada in the purport quotes one verse of Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatpata Tyakpa Deham Punam Janma. Janma Karma Chame, the Krishna's birth, his activities, his leaving, Divyam, they're transcendental. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatpata. One who knows this in truth, Tyakpa Deham Punam Janma Naiti Mameti, he doesn't take birth again. So he understood the transcendental position of Krishna, and therefore he understood that I should also go now. Since the appearance and disappearance of the Lord and his eternal associates are transcendental, one should not be bewildered by the external features of appearance and disappearance. He wasn't bewildered by the external features. Mission. The next mission. Okay. We read just a few more verses today. Pratapyanu shrutya dananjayo ditam nasham yadunam bhagavad gatim chitam ekanta bhaktya bhagavata doksa jay naveshitatmo pararama samstrate. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and the disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention, and thus gained release from the course of material existence. So Kunti was listening. And what did she do? Ekanta bhaktya bhagavat adoksaja. Unto the supreme personality of Godhead, eka anta bhaktya, unalloyed devotion to the supreme personality of Godhead. So this is Kunti's example. She spiritualized. In other words, she got ready to go back to Godhead. And how did she get ready to go back to Godhead? How did she get ready to join Krishna? By purifying the consciousness. Our separation from Krishna is just a matter of consciousness. When you have bhakti, you're not in this material world. This material world is a product of being a non-devotee. In other words, when you want to be a devotee, which means you want to serve Krishna, then you're free from illusion. Because that's what we are, Krishna's servants. So if you want to be Krishna's servant, if you want to embrace reality that I am a devotee, then you don't need illusion. You only need illusion when you want to be something that you're not by your nature. So when you want to be a non-devotee, which you're not by your nature, then you're an illusion. So our separation from Krishna is just the fact that we don't want to be devotees. And how do you get bhakti? By focusing your mind singly on Krishna, which increases our attachment to Krishna. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. This is the whole Krishna consciousness movement. It's ways and means. Rupa Goswami said that the acharya devises ways and means to focus the mind on Krishna. But the goal is to focus the mind on Krishna. Because this gives us the devotion. It increases our devotion. And when the devotion becomes singular and unalloyed, then we're free from the illusion of this material world. Because we don't need to, Krishna doesn't need to put us in illusion. He's only putting us in illusion to fulfill our desire to be a non-devotee, which we can only be in illusion, because by nature we are Krishna's devotees. Just like if you're the son of a rich man and you don't want to be him, then the only way you can do it is to forget. It's not that you're not his son anymore, you're just forgetting that you're his son. So the forgetfulness is caused by your desire not to be what you are. So the whole material world is simply that when we want to be a non-devotee. What is non-devotee? We want to be the controller. We want to be the enjoyer. A position we can't have by our constitution. So bhakti reverses the whole process of the material world. So Kunti's example is when she heard that it was time to go with Krishna. The mission was completed. Even though she was an eternal associate, she kind of just geared herself in the proper consciousness, so to speak. Bhishma Dev did the same thing, even though he was a pure devotee. He was doing so many activities, but when he realized that there was Uttarayana, the sun was in the right place for him to leave, then it said that he just focused his mind on Krishna and stopped all other activities. That's what samadhi is. Samadhi. Sama means equal and di means vision. We have the concept of samadhi. It means now, Prabhupada's in samadhi, just focusing on his eternal relationship with Krishna. He was doing so many other activities. Of course, it was the same. But in another sense, samadhi. Samadhi. Focusing fully. Nothing else. Just full, pure focus on Krishna.
Yaharad bhuvibaram tadthanum vijahabhyaja kantakam kantakenaivadvayam chapishatu samam.
The Supreme Unborn, Lord Sri Krishna, caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. The action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. To the controller, there's a thorn to be picked out of your body, and there's a thorn, it's the same. So this is very interesting, and Prabhupada explains, this is Sutta Goswami, because he's describing what happens. And when he's describing, because he's a preacher, he's not only concerned with what he says, but what is understood by his words. So he's understand when he's speaking, what is being understood? Well, there's a little confusion among the rishis. Because they're thinking, Krishna's family, Krishna's descendants, the Yadu dynasty, and they got drunk and they got intoxicated. So he's describing, no, it's the unborn Krishna who caused them to relinquish their body. He did this. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the rishis like Shonak and others were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sutta Goswami at Naimisharanya, were not happy to hear about the Yadus dying in the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from this mental agony, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he sees contradictions in the Shastra. He has agony himself until he figures it out. So he was seeing their agony. Sutta Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies by which they had to take away the burden of the world. So the Lord was finished with his mission. He personally removed them. Like picking out a thorn with a thorn, he personally removed them. He used the demigods to remove the demons. And when the job was finished, then he took away the demigods. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. So he took them himself.
Yatha matsyari rupani date jaya jitanata bhubara shapito yena chahau tachcha kalevaram.
The Supreme Lord relinquished the body which he manifested to diminish the burden of the earth. Just like a magician, he relinquishes one body to accept different ones, like the fish incarnations and others. So Krishna himself, you see, he also gave up his body. This also, this point of Krishna's disappearance is discussed also. Because any misconceptions will prevent you from bhakti. If you hear that Krishna is dying and you think he's an ordinary man, there's no bhakti. Because why would you worship Krishna and dedicate your life to Krishna if you think he's an ordinary man? So therefore, Krishna's disappearance has to be explained. It's not ordinary. And the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty has to be explained. It's not ordinary. It's all caused by Krishna. So Krishna relinquished his body also. But how? Like a magician. And Prabhupada describes in the purport that the magician sometimes cuts a body to pieces. But actually, it's just an illusion. The body is not actually being cut to pieces. You ever heard of David Copperfield?
It was something he did that Krishna got love. It was the owler that caught an arrow.
Yeah.
That touched the finger of his foot.
Yeah.
And that caused his so-called death.
Right.
The owler was in the previous birth, was from the son of Bali. When Rama was killed, when the battle was over, and Rama was giving big boon to all those who helped him in this fight. And then when Angad's turn came, he wanted, I want to kill the enemy of my father. He had some grievance that his father, Bali, was killed by Rama by putting an arrow from behind the battle by a tree.
This is from Ramlila.
Ramavata. He had the idea that had there been a fair fight between Rama and Bali, Bali would have won. He was so very powerful and strong, a gorilla, a very big gorilla. Then he had the grievance that I want to kill the enemies of my parents. Rama could understand his psychology and granted the boon. Yes, he will do it, but not in this avatar. Then Krishna avatar came, and when Krishna had to leave, he was brought in as an instrument, as a fowler. He shot an arrow and touched the finger of his foot, and Krishna was free. Just a material reason, playing a material reason. Actually, it is nothing, an instrument of Nirvikrama Prabhu.
He became the instrument.
He became a fowler, he was lost in a fowler family in order to travel that practice. It has been said in Muhammad.
So, like a magician. It's just an illusion, that Krishna created the illusion. Such forms are temporarily shown to the asuras only, and when such exhibitions are withdrawn, the asuras think that the Lord is no more existent, just as the foolish audience thinks the magician to be burnt to ashes or to cut to pieces. I was saying, there's a little term of the tape, but you ever heard of David Copperfield? He's the most famous magician now. He's like P.C. Saka. He made the Statue of Liberty disappear by illusion. Such a famous magician. So just like a magician, and then it says here, Prabhupada in the purport, he quotes one word, date. The word date, in this verse, the particular word date, eternally accepted, and not the word ditva, accepted for the occasion, is used. So in other words, these forms of Krishna, he relinquished the body to accept, just like the fish incarnation, it means that when Krishna relinquished the body, he's still eternally existing, because it says date. Just like Matsya, it's not that Krishna assumes the body of a fish, he actually has an eternal manifestation as such. So Krishna has an eternal manifestation. That's his eternal form. He appears to leave the body. Actually, it's described previously, it's the Bharat Rup. He leaves the material conception, the universe, that form by which he pervades the whole universe. That's what he leaves. And then Krishna goes. And then Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? It's what verse is quoted here? What is that? Mam abudayo. You know that? Mam. Those who think I have assumed this form are less intelligent. Yeah, isn't it funny how we can't remember these commas? What? No, that's the one after. Come on, do you know that verse? We assume this. Manmaya mam abudaya. Those who think that I've assumed this form are less intelligent. So it's Krishna's eternal form. Are there any questions so far? He left in his self-same body. But it appears that way, like a magician. So this is preparing. Just see how it's perfectly preparing, and I'll just finish here. It's almost 9 o'clock. I like to finish early. See how it's preparing everything. That Krishna is disappearing, so his disappearance has to be explained. Because if you misunderstand his disappearance, you can't have bhakti. But his disappearance means what? That Kali enters. And therefore, and his disappearance means two things. Kali enters, and Yudhisthira retires, and Maharaj Cricket is enthroned. So Krishna's disappearance means the pastime of Maharaj Cricket. Because it means that Yudhisthira will leave naturally because he came to execute the Lord's mission. So he'll enthrone his grandson, Parikshit. At the same time, Kali will immediately appear. So we'll have the story of Parikshit's activities, which the sages wanted to hear. At the same time, Maharaj Cricket's glory is his death, because in his death, he heard the Bhagavatam. So at the same time, Krishna's disappearance will not only mean that Maharaj Cricket is enthroned, Kali will enter, we'll see Maharaj Cricket's activities, we'll also see Kali enter, which will also see the effect of not having Krishna. And we already experienced that before. Yudhisthira was seeing the effect of Krishna not being there. And therefore, why we have to have Krishna in our lives, and why we have to have Krishna appear, and how does he appear for us? In the form of the Bhagavatam. So it all leads. Again, it's like this. They want to hear about the history of the Bhagavatam. What's the history of the Bhagavatam? Maharaj Cricket. So the sages ask all these questions about Maharaj Cricket. So they ask about his activities. So he begins to describe his activities. Well, for his activities to be described, you have to have Krishna disappear, because his activities are killing, are rewarding and punishing Kali. And Kali cannot manifest if Krishna's on the planet. So Krishna has to disappear. And Maharaj Cricket can't be enthroned unless Krishna disappears and Yudhisthira leaves with him his eternal associates. Then that's also described. And then when Krishna disappeared, we'll see what it's like without Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna will soon reappear in the form of the Bhagavatam. So we'll get the story of Maharaj Cricket being cursed. And one thing that the sages wanted to know at Namasharanya about Maharaj Cricket that was so curious is that he was so powerful, there was nothing lacking in his administration. They described his glories. He was so powerful that he had everything, materially he had everything. But the sages said, okay, even if he was detached, he may have had everything. Why did he leave? Okay, he was detached. But even if he was detached, why did he leave? Because he was using everything for Krishna's service, and everyone was protected under him.
And the real hidden answer is that more important than his administration, his service of ruling the world, was his service of dying and manifesting the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam appeared to him. Krishna appeared to him in his death in the form of the Bhagavatam. They want to hear about Maharaj Prickett. Why? Because he was such a great personality that in the womb of his mother, Krishna appeared, his activities, and then in his death, Krishna appeared in the form of the Bhagavatam. So this is all going to come up to the Bhagavatam appearing. And this is also a hint with the Gita, because in disappearance, what does Yudhisthira take shelter of? How does he feel the association of Krishna in the form of the Bhagavad Gita? So when Krishna leaves, if we want to have Krishna's association, we have to associate with Krishna in the form of his instructions, in terms of both the philosophy and the descriptions of Krishna. Because Krishna is manifest, he specifically come again in Kali Yuga in his instructions. And we should take the example of Kunti also. Because Kunti, when she realized she had to go, what'd she do? She focused the mind on Krishna. And this is spoken to the sages of Namasharanya. I'm sorry. Generally, we try to end at 9:15. That's our general policy. So don't be discouraged. And if you have to leave, you could leave whenever it is for your class or what? Okay, but there's also breakfast and things. Okay, we'll try to finish at 9:15. It's just today I gave an introduction. So anyway, this is the whole way the Bhagavatam is composed, and you can see there's stories, but the whole it's also being spoken at Naimisharanya, and what's Naimisharanya? Naimisharanya is the beginning of Kali Yuga. And the sages are worried, and they're experiencing Kali Yuga, and they want to know what to do. And that's why they're being told, that's why Sutta Goswami, their question was, when Krishna left, with knowledge and where will knowledge and religion be protected? Because when Krishna leaves, then Kali Yuga enters. So they asked that question, and the answer was the Bhagavatam. And that's why they're telling about the history of the Bhagavatam. Because that's where Krishna will appear. But while telling about the history of the Bhagavatam and telling about Maharaj Prickett's life, we see he himself, in separation from Krishna, takes shelter of Yudhisthira takes shelter of the Krishna's instructions. Any questions? Okay, we'll leave now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.